The head of Amazon recently turned a few heads with his pronouncement that within a few years, he wants to be sending deliveries to your home courtesy of unmanned aerial vehicles, commonly called drones. There are predictions that by 2025, there could be 175,000 of these UAVs in the United States airspace, ranging from nano-sized ones to a full-sized pilotless airplane hauling cargo for UPS. Well, meet Danny Ellis. He's a Michigan entrepreneur developing ways to use unmanned aerial devices in the commercial market. Danny, you're the CEO of SkySpecs, a University of Michigan incubated company.
Yeah, we've got 9 employees now. We're all either current students or graduates of the university. And it actually started out as a student team that was at the university since 2009. And in 2012, we had the opportunity to go through Michigan's incubator program to develop a business and kind of really hone in on where our product was going to be valuable out in the world. And so we started focusing on commercial applications as opposed to military applications, which at the time, pretty much everything was assumed to be military if you were in this space.
Yes.
And started looking to see who could use our product the most. And we started to settle on structural inspection applications, whether it be a bridge or a building or a wind turbine, pretty much anywhere that right now requires a rope crew to access it. We want to fly our system up there carrying the sensors that they need to take a look at the structure.
So this actually grew out of the fact that you were the Michigan Autonomous Aerial Vehicle student team.
Correct.
Quite a mouthful.
Correct.
What first attracted you to the idea behind UAVs?
When I started in 2006 here in aerospace engineering, they weren't really that big.
No.
We didn't really have that many classes in it. If you wanted to work on it, it was pretty much on your own time, and it was really focused on the hobbyist side of things, not a commercial application. But by the time I was a senior, it started to build up as a major topic in the curriculum. And so we decided as a bunch of students that we wanted to build one on our own. There had been a couple of research projects on it, little semester-long projects, but we really wanted to tackle it as a bigger project. So we formed this team, found an international competition to go to, raised sponsorship money, and put the team together and went from there.
And now you've been able to take it and grow it into SkySpecs.
Right.
So what you're working on, give us an idea of what does it look like, how does it work, and what can it do?
Yeah, it's a 4-rotor helicopter. And so you've seen a lot of them out on the internet that look very similar to it. It's about 3 feet across, weighs about 10 pounds. And, we're developing it so that you don't need a pilot to fly it. And so that's the biggest difference. If you go to, Brookstone and you buy one of these for $300 off the shelf, it's a little remote control thing from your iPhone. What we're focusing on is removing the skilled pilot so that you can command this thing to go do a mission, whether it's inspecting a wind turbine or, flying up and down a building, and then it conducts the flight on its own. And the operator will still be able to tell it, I want it to go higher, go lower, but it's handling all the complicated flight tasks and the obstacle avoidance during the mission.
Well, and what kind of interest are you getting from the commercial market on this?
There's interest all over the place. We get phone calls and emails from a lot of different people asking us, when is our product going to be ready for their application?
Huh.
As random as a guy in San Diego wanted us to put a fish finder on it and fly it over the ocean to track fish. He had a charter fishing boat that wanted to do this. But the most attention we've gotten is right now is in the wind turbine inspection industry.
Michigan.
We've been speaking to a lot of companies in the clean tech sector. We've competed in a bunch of clean tech business competitions. In 2013, we won the Michigan Clean Energy Venture Challenge here at Michigan. And so that got us our first big pile of grant money that we could actually build our first prototype with and start to grow. And we've gone to a bunch of conferences in clean tech and gotten relationships with potential partners that are doing wind turbine inspections.
So you've got your prototype done?
It's not done. We're testing it in the lab.
All right.
Yeah. So there are a lot of steps to make sure that it is safe and operational. And so we're doing a lot of lab tests right now. And then in the first quarter of next year, we're going to be getting out on a wind farm and flying in front of a turbine to see how it reacts in that environment.
I'm wondering, as you say, a few years ago, it was like, oh, well, my cousin's got a fun helicopter. He can take an aerial photo of the family reunion. But now
right.
We're really talking. We certainly have heard the headlines about military applications. But the idea of these commercial applications, I honestly think when Amazon said, guess what, we may be dropping things at your doorstep and be completely on our own delivery system with these UAVs, I don't think most of us knew the technology was that far. So
right.
Where do you see this going, say in 10 years?
In 10 years, it'll be a completely different landscape than it is now. Part of the issue right now, the FAA does not legally allow any systems like ours to fly. Now, hobbyists can use them, but there's a very fine line as to whether you're hobbyist or commercial. Mm. And so nobody can actually make money off of these devices in the United States yet. But the FAA made recent strides in that by releasing this roadmap that is talking about the next 10 years of UAS, unmanned aerial systems, integration into the airspace. And so the first steps are going to be stuff like us, where they will grant little small tasks that you can go and use the devices for. And then they'll use that as an example of how everyone can be using them in the wide open airspace later on. But, you know, there's a lot of interest in surveillance and package delivery, in aerial footage, whether it be for Hollywood or for the local police department. There's a lot of interest. And I think in the next 10 years, you'll start to see that it is far cheaper to get these capabilities for whatever task you want. And you'll see a lot more of them out in the airspace, and to the point where you won't even really think about it anymore.
Boy, oh boy. So, and as you say, the FAA is looking at that because you certainly, number one, wouldn't want to have these unmanned devices colliding with each other, nor would you want to be anywhere in the flight pattern of
right.
of an aircraft.
Right.
So they're looking at it.
Yeah, they're definitely looking at it. It's a long process to figure out because there's a wide range of them. If they're, you know, the size of your hand, is it going to be in the path of a commercial airliner? Probably not. But at the same time, where is that line drawn? And they're trying to figure out what rules need to be put in place so everybody can operate safely.
Are any of these regulations or lack thereof at this point, is it holding developers like you here in the United States back? Are people in other countries able to move ahead?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of companies in Germany, a few in Canada, that have already started using these for commercial purposes and showing that it can be done. At the same time, there have been accidents in these other countries. And so there is reason to believe that some of the regulations are necessary. The United States is definitely the strictest. And so that is putting a little bit of pressure on us as to not being able to be commercial here immediately. But that doesn't prevent us from going to sites in Canada, going to sites in Mexico, and proving out our business there initially.
You are, I have to say, you and your company, your team are examples of what we hear so much of from policymakers and people who run Michigan, and that is young Michigan entrepreneurs. Was there ever any doubt that you would not be in Michigan?
Initially, when we started the company, we were feeling a lot of pressure to go out to California or Boston, get to one of the coasts where there's a lot of venture capitalist money and support. And, we kind of pushed back on that a little bit. We liked being here in Michigan. We have a lot of resources here in Michigan, especially when you're building a hardware company like we are. There are a lot of, contracting companies here that tie in with the auto industry that are looking for extra work. And so when we're ready to scale up, there are people here that will be able to build carbon fiber for us or build circuit boards for us. And, we have a lot of access to that right here. And really, we've seen a lot of increase in venture capital in this area, even just in the last, 3 or 4 years that we've been in the area even thinking about this. And so, we didn't really feel like we were going to move immediately. Mm-hmm. And, we may expand in the future, but I think we'll always have a footprint here in Michigan.
Well, exciting, exciting stuff. I have to tell you, when we think about that, I had no clue we were as far ahead as we are. And we'll be following what you do as you and your SkySpecs team kind of move ahead with this.
Thank you very much.
Been talking with Danny Ellis, who is the CEO of SkySpecs based in Ann Arbor. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.